B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. It's a burgundy and gold game day. Commanders Bengals tonight from Cincinnati, Ohio. Burgundy and gold game day presented by Rood. Is your cooling system letting you down? Score a touchdown with Rood and experience peak performance. Dominate the season with unmatched cooling power and visit Rood.com. And remember,
if it ain't Rood, it ain't right.
Joining us right now on the BetQL guest line is Mr. Tim McGee. First rounder, played 8 seasons with the Cincinnati Bengals and then capped it off with 1 season in Washington. Former Tennessee Volunteer. Tim, what's up, man? Thanks for joining us.
Man, nothing going on, man. I appreciate you guys having me. Just enjoying this beautiful day in the Midwest. It's going to be a great night for football. It's going to be an absolutely fabulous night as far as weather is concerned. So I guess there'll be no excuses.
No excuses, but you finally got Higgins back. How is it, Tim, when a guy's out for a while, receiver, when you first get back? Is the timing off or anything like that?
Yeah, yes and no. It is from a standpoint that there are, and you know this, Mitch, there are no training camps. So there are no such thing as chemistry anymore, in my opinion, because you basically just start the season off and you just go play. There's not a lot of practice time. They don't hit in practice time. There's so many things they don't do versus to what they used to do back in the past. So I don't think it's as big of a deal as it was, per se, 10, 15 years ago. These guys just show up, run the same routes, and they got a great quarterback. So, you know, the quarterback gonna put the ball between the numbers, and if the receiver is healthy enough, they'll go on and do their thing.
Talking with Tim McGee here, played 8 years for the Bengals, played another season in Washington, 28 career touchdown catches in the league. You mentioned Burrow there, Tim. What do you think of him as a guy that played this game at a really high level for a long time? And, you know, you played with some good quarterbacks, but Burrow seems to be a special player.
Man, I think you hit the word right on the head. They're special. There are just not many Joe Burrow that come around. I mean, he's definitely a once-in-a-lifetime franchise quarterback for the Bengals. I mean, we had some great ones in Boomer Esiason and Kenny Anderson and so on and so forth. But Joe just one of those guys, man, that he just has it all. And I'm talking, when I say all, I'm not just talking about the physical attributes of throwing the ball long, deep, short, nice touch on the ball, commanding the offense, but I mean, this guy, he has swag with all that. So he's complete. There's just, you know, even from a critic standpoint, you just can't say anything about Joe Burrow that he doesn't have a weakness in his game. And when I say that on what he can control when the offensive line is giving up, you know, 8 sacks in some game. So, you know, they struggle in that regard in protecting him. But as far as his individual skill set, on and off the court, I mean, trust me, man, he has done so much on the field and off the field for this community that it's just been kind of a heaven-sent thing for us.
When you flip it to the other side, the defense, and Washington loves running the football, Brian Robinson Jr. and also Austin Eckler has been running the ball effectively. How's the defensive line of Cincinnati?
Struggling. Number one, it's not the most talented group. You got Trey Hendrickson that comes around. He's an edge pass rusher, just very, very dominant, one of the best in the games. But other than that, there's not a lot of names. There's not a lot of high-value guys. There's not a lot of guys that you would think will be starting on other teams. But, you know, they get after it, and I think they make up for it. They make up for it definitely from the defensive coordinator, Lou Anaroma. I mean, that guy is, man, he just – you know, he takes something and makes a complete masterpiece out of it, and they play well together. But, again, they're just not very talented on that defensive line, and they're hurt. So that's, you know, that's why people have had success running against them.
It is remarkable what Anaromo has done with that defense for years and with a lot of different moving parts. Hendrickson, though, we talked about him a little earlier, is a monster, and he kind of doesn't get that national recognition in a lot of ways. How much of an impact do you think he could make going up against a rookie quarterback on the other side in Jaden Daniels?
You know, if the Bengals outside of Trey, they don't get a lot of pressure on the quarterbacks, but they play very, very solid. So anytime you can add another dimension from a pressure, even a sack standpoint, I mean, that's just going to make the second and third level a little bit more relaxed and play a lot better. Again, what we don't have here, they make up in as far as individual talent, they make up as in team concept and team understanding and team execution. They're just a defense that, man, I'm telling you, you guys obviously hadn't seen it, but when Lou first got here, Zach Taylor, I just personally thought they wouldn't last 2 years. I mean, the defense was terrible, the offense was even worse, and they were competing to see who could be the worst. But they went and got the talent that they needed for their systems, and that is so doggone important in the National Football League. You get judged by who you're coaching, regardless if they're bad talent or not bad talent. And what Coach Lou has done, he's taken the, in my opinion, the above average and the average, and he's made them a lot better. And like I said, if they could get another D lineman to stand up and balance that defense and put pressure either up the middle, because you know Trey's coming from the outside, if they could get that other element, I'm pretty sure the guys on the second and third level, they will be taking them to dinner after the game going, thank you that we didn't have to cover so long.
I bet. Talking with Tim McGee here, played 8 seasons for the Bengals and 1 season in Washington. What did you, in your career, I mean, you were so established in Cincy, you come to D.C. for the 1 season. I think, was that Pettibone's year coaching?
very unfortunately, yes.
Yeah. I mean, that was a tough season.
that was an absolutely disaster. And, it just wasn't a very good experience for me personally, and it wasn't a good experience for the other people. But, we tried to scrap it, but they were coming off of our Super Bowl champion, and Joe Gibbs had retired, and, a lot of the veteran talent was getting to a point where they were thinking about calling it quits and things of that nature. So we struggled. There was no question about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what's crazy is you guys opened the year with that big win over the Cowboys. And I remember, I think it was Monday night. Yeah. I think it was Monday night.
I did zone a few times.
Did you? I'll look up the box score. But that year, I always find this interesting, was the double bye week season. I'll ask both of you. Did you guys like that? Was it odd?
I don't even remember it being a double bye week. We practiced so damn hard. Tell you, Tim, we practiced so damn hard back in those days.
Hey, you asked, was it a double bye week? Trust me, we were homecoming for a lot of teams.
I like it.
And of all years, that was probably the roughest year for me. And it couldn't that year could not have gotten over faster. And then, like you said, from an individual standpoint, I just remember, and I tell this story all the time, Brian, that I remember one day you came up to me in the locker room. I was coming out the door, and you said, man, they scared of you. And, I lit off some profanities of, my experience, because when I came there, I was supposed to be coming there as the third guy. Mm-hmm. And I was supposed to play the slot. I was supposed to, fill in the blank between Ricky Sanders and Art Monk. And the very first day of minicamp, they put me in front of Art Monk, and I knew I was doomed from a fan standpoint. You got one of the all-time, if not the all-time legends, and you just brought this guy from Cincinnati, and they didn't even tell me that. And I was so bitter that whole season. I was just like, I'm getting the hell out of here. And trust me, I did. I came back home to Cincinnati where I was on the good side of politics.
that's fascinating, because I guess Gary had signed with the Cardinals then. Was that Gary's first?
Yeah.
Wow.
And to add to that story, I was actually in Arizona thinking I was signing with them. They signed Gary. I fly directly from Arizona to Washington to fill that void. And I mean, I was a pure butthole when I was there. I mean, I absolutely. I love the players, but the management and the head coach just wasn't my favorite, because again, I'm one of those.
Well said there. that 93 week 1 Monday Night Football big Redskins win. Listen to this box score. First score, touchdown from Troy Aikman to Alvin Harper, 80-yard touchdown pass.
Yep.
Then second quarter, all Redskins. Mark Rippon and Ricky Sanders, 15-yard touchdown. Chip Lowmiller makes the kick. Brian Mitchell, 1 yard rushing touchdown. Chip Lowmiller makes the kick. 14-6, Washington. Mark Rippon to Ron Middleton, 1 yard touchdown pass. Chip makes the kick. 21-6. In the third quarter now, Alvin Harper catches another one from Troy, 32-yarder. And then Art Monk catches one from Rip, 28-13. Fourth quarter, Cowboys get a field goal, 28-16. Then Brian Mitchell, 29-yard rushing touchdown to seal it, 35-16. A lot of names right there, man. And that year, I mean, this is weird to me.
You know, hey, that it was kind of weird because I started that game. Remember that?
But hey, B.
And then they moved. They completely moved me off of running back.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. The crazier part of that year, you had no idea who was starting, playing, or even putting on a uniform. One time I had a 100-yard game and didn't even suit up the next week. I was like, what just happened here?
Yeah.
Did you ever get answers? I mean, obviously, Tim, you went back to Cincy, but B.
Well, it was told that Jack said he wanted to see Reggie Brooks, the guy from Notre Dame that they had drafted.
And that's that?
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
They did that, and like I said, they started me. And, again, I went in with the mindset of here's what I'm going to do. But I understood because I was being paid a lot of money. But the part I did not – where I really got kind of upset was they wasn't just doing it to me. They were doing it to pretty much everybody. Rick Sanders would sit 1 week, and then Art would – you know, then they came to me and said, oh, here's what we're going to do. We're going to – Art's going to start, and once he catches his ball because he had that streak going, and yep. Then you're going to go in the game. Well, hell, what if Art catches the ball with 2 minutes to go in the game? That meant I've just been
– That is weird, dude. I mean, just
hey, I'm from the hood of Cleveland. I can't prepare mentally for that. You know,
just... I mean, from a running back standpoint, I didn't realize Beiner was still on the team.
Yeah,
and they drafted Reggie Brooks, you, Ricky Irvins, and Beiner. All four of you guys. I mean, why would you phase out Beiner and Ricky?
Well, hey,
well,
bro,
not
it's
only
crazy.
That was the running back position, and like I told you, you didn't know who was going to start, play, or even dress. And the receiver, you had Tim McGee and Desmond Howard.
That's
so
crazy.
It was one of those, but, you know, poor Des, I just felt terrible for him because, you know, he was more of a returner than he was a wide receiver. So, him being from Cleveland and all that, and seeing it, you know, seeing him practice and then play, I just was like, oh man, this guy's going to struggle a little bit here.
Did you know right away?
Resilient. Yeah, he was very resilient in coming back and going to Green Bay and having a great career as a punt returner. And probably, you know, once Dez got the ball in his hand, that's when he was yep. special.
Right. God, that was a fun little trip down memory lane.
Yeah, we did some weird stuff.
Yeah, clearly.
A lot of time, fans, you don't know what's going on, but
sure,
we do.
Sure. Tim, back to tonight's game. Bengals are 0-2, but that's still a hell of a lot of talent over there. How do you think Washington could pull off the upset tonight?
Well, the Bengals have been very, very inconsistent, and that's no secret. They play good at times. They went through this where you hear coaches say that, you know, don't have your level of play based on the talent that you're facing. And they played against the New England team that they probably, of course, on paper should have absolutely destroyed, but you know, they played down to that level and they played New England style football, and smash mouth football is not the way the Bengals are built. The Bengals are built on the offensive side. They're built to outscore you. And you know, they got themselves in a pickle by trying to be something that they just are not. And if Washington can get themselves in the same situation where they get the Bengals to play mass mouth offense, defense, offensive line, displace the line of scrimmage, defense, control the line of scrimmage. If you get the Bengals in that, you know, you stand not just a good chance, but a greater chance of winning. Secondly, and probably the problem Washington has, T. Higgins coming back. So now you got to get back to that. You're going to maybe have to outscore them. You know, you got the full arsenal and the three-head monster here with Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, and Ja'Marr Chase. And let's just face it, Ja'Marr Chase is very frustrated right now. He's not getting his numbers both on the field, and he's not getting his money back off the field. So, you know, they're going to be looking for some redemption, and 0-3 is what they cannot start. They can't start this season off 0-3.
Yeah.
So if Washington runs the ball effectively, time off the clock, get touchdown, that kind of make Cincinnati have to come back, try to score quickly. You make them more one-dimensional, so they would have to try and run the ball effectively and have that what's called time of possession game. You think?
And that's why I brought up New England, because that's exactly what New England did. New England made them play New England style of football, which was run the ball, control the clock, keep Joe Burrow on the sideline. We've heard that before so many, 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 many times in covering the NFL, college, or even high school. It's easier said than done, but if you keep Joe Burrow's snaps limited, you stand a very, very good chance. And if you keep them in, and if Washington just control the line of scrimmage on first and second down and put the Bengals in obvious passing down and pin their ears back and come after Joe, the offensive line here in Cincinnati is, you know, I think they're solid, but they, you know, they've given up a lot of pressures and a lot of sacks.
All right.
Tim, you laid out the case that Washington can win if they follow kind of that a formula, but what do you actually think happens tonight? What's your prediction?
I think it's going to be a tough game. I think since the Bengals are still trying to find their identity this particular year, they just don't seem – it's something – and I talk about this even on our show. It's just something missing, and I can't put my finger on it. So that's why I think Washington has a fighter's chance to come in here and create an upset. Now, if both teams play to their max potential – I think the Bengals will definitely, you know, have a solid performance and win. But the Bengals have turned the ball over on special teams. They've turned it on fumbles. They turned it over on interceptions. So, and they're not getting a lot back in return. So I just think until they find their identity of who they are, I think any team that comes in here stands a chance. And Washington is a very talented team, and I think underrated and underappreciated.
All right. Folks, you're going to like to hear that, man. All right, Tim, appreciate it. Will you be at the game tonight?
Oh, Lord, no. No.
Do you live in Cincy or in Cleveland?
I live in Cincinnati and Fort Lauderdale, but I'm here most of the time, and I'm here in Cincinnati for the game, but I don't be dealing with them crazy people going downtown.
Yeah, on my way over here to JP's hotel, I kind of drove through a little area. The Uber driver was telling me the history of that area. I was like, okay. I got you.
Yeah. You know, you go to the game, enjoy it, then you roll the dice and think you're going to make it home. And if you make it home, you've gotten two wins if the Bengals win.
Great. I'll be getting out of there about 1 a.m. Sounds terrific. Hey, Tim, thanks so much for
your time. Appreciate
you,
brother.
Dude. That was a lot of fun.
Always, guys. Thank you for having me.
All right, man. Thanks, Tim.
Tim McGee, 8 seasons with the Bengals, 1 apparently pretty awful season in Washington. Nobody go anywhere. We're going to keep it going. TJ Houshmandzadeh joins the program next.